Hebrews chapter 13, I want to read the chapter for us. Hebrews 13, starting in chapter 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that your brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you again for the redemption that the Lord Jesus has provided for us through his own shed blood. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that we can gather around it now. And Lord, we would remember those who are in bonds as bound with them and those which are suffering adversities as being ourselves in the body. And we pray, Lord, wherever your people today are suffering and in bonds and are afflicted, Lord, we do pray that you would draw near to them and encourage them in yourself, and may great grace be upon them. And Lord, may their circumstances be an opportunity, Lord, to display your grace, and Lord, to, as it were, astound the people looking on, to marvel how the people could still be thankful and still praise God in very difficult situations. We pray for them today. Lord, we pray for ourselves that you would speak to us through your word, and Lord, that we might be encouraged, and Lord, that once again, that your will would be accomplished. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A sacrifice to God, which you and I can make today and which God wants for us to make, is the fruit of our lips, which is giving thanks to his name. Now, sacrifice, something that was offered to God, we find in the Old Testament that God's people offered thank offerings or thanksgiving offerings. And I want to have a look at a couple of those in Leviticus chapter 22, back in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 22, and in verse 27 through 29, go back another one, verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be cow or ewe, you shall not kill it and her young both in one day. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Right, he's talking about these free will offerings, sacrificial offerings of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Remember, the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians. And they were contemplating going back under the law. They were contemplating many of the things under the law of Moses. And the book of Hebrews was written to encourage them that the Lord Jesus Christ is a far greater sacrifice than those of bulls and of goats and heifers. That he's a greater high priest. That he is a greater. That he was greater than Moses. That he was greater than Abraham. That he was greater than the Levitical priesthood. And so when the writer of Hebrews writes her about offering the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips, then these people would have thought immediately of thanksgiving offerings and sacrifices which were given freely under the law of Moses. Today, if we talk about the sacrifice of praise, we would sort of scratch our head and say, what's that supposed to be? But remember who he's writing to. Remember in the Old Testament that God's people would offer sacrifices, and they were sacrifices of thanksgiving, offerings that would be burnt before God as thanksgiving unto God. In 2 Chronicles, if you can turn there, in chapter 29, then we see Hezekiah and the people doing just what the book of Leviticus said to do, to give free will thanksgiving offerings and sacrifices. In verse 31, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah has been busy restoring the temple. He was one of the godly kings who came to the throne. Israel had fallen into disarray and God's people had turned away from worshipping God as they ought to. The temple had fallen into disrepair, and Hezekiah began the work of rebuilding those things. In verse 15 of that chapter, they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. It took them a week to get the place cleaned up. Now we come to verse 31, and you can read the rest for yourself. But Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 70 bullocks, and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were burnt for a burnt offering to the Lord. Hezekiah had finally restored the temple, and people's hearts had been turned to the Lord, and so now they come with thank offerings. And notice there was a lot of them, 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs. And these animals were brought into the temple area and they were sacrificed and offered as burnt offerings, but as thanksgiving offerings to the Lord. They were offering unto God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Now, you and I today are not expected to bring bullocks or rams or lambs. But God is expecting us to offer to him the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. And he says we are to do that continually. Now, in the Old Testament, they did it freely. The Bible says of Hezekiah and the people there, they were of a free heart. Remember, Leviticus says that they were to do those things willingly. There wasn't, as it were, you must do this or else. God was trusting that because of their relationship with him, they would want to give these thanksgiving offerings and sacrifices unto the Lord, but they were to do it freely and willingly. God wasn't, as it were, twisting their arm and saying, you will thank me. He said, I want you to do it willingly and I want you to do it freely. But I notice there was a cost involved in doing that. 70 bullocks and the rams and the lambs. And every sacrifice is costing us something. It's going to cost us something to offer to God the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips, continually. It's going to cost us to do that. There's going to be times when we do not feel like thanking the Lord, but we're to thank him because we're to do that continually. Thanksgiving offering. So again, remember, as he writes to the Hebrew Christians, they're thinking about literal offerings. Again, we don't do that today, but the principle's there. Freely and willingly offering to God thanks and praise. There was another sacrifice that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and accepted, which is your reasonable service to do that. And so there are sacrifices that you and I are to make. And the sacrifice of ourselves, a living sacrifice to God, I think is probably number one on the list. But having done that, now we are to continually offer thanks unto God. Remember what we read there in that verse, and I'll read it for us again in Hebrews. By him, therefore, in other words, by and through the Lord Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So we don't come in our own name and our own merits. We come in the name and then on the merits of the Lord Jesus, by him, and we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, I want to just think a little bit this morning about why should we give thanks? And so that's pretty obvious why. Well, let me just make the obvious to us. And number one, let me suggest this. We are to give thanks because God commands it. We are to give thanks because God commands it. Now here, he's talking in the context of sacrifices, which were to be freely and willingly made. But let's have a look in Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, as Paul writes about the Spirit-filled life. Now, the Spirit-filled life has got a lot of connotations for different people, but the Spirit-filled life is merely a life led under the total control of the Spirit of God. He is to fill us, he is to control us in every area of our lives. The fruit of that will be, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you back up just a couple of verses to verse 17, just so you understand this is the will of God. Verse 17 says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is, be not drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The will of the Lord is, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The will of the Lord is, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Hebrews says, by him we offer these sacrifices of praise continually, even the fruit of our lips. Now, here Paul says we are to give thanks always, that's the continually, for all things. And we need to ask ourselves, do we do that? Are we following that instruction, giving thanks always for all things? Not for most things, not for nearly everything, but are we giving thanks for all things, every event, every situation, everything about our lives, are we giving thanks to God? in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in verse 18, again we find out what the will of God is in this matter of being thankful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, here God's word says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything. Now in Ephesians he says, "For all things we're to give thanks," but here he says, "In everything." In every situation we are to give thanks to God. You say, well, that gets a little bit tricky sometimes. That gets a little bit difficult. There are times when I don't feel very thankful. Well, if you've never felt in that situation where I don't feel thankful, but I know God wants me to be thankful, if you've never been there, then maybe you could see me later on. I'd like to know how you got to that place where you've just been always so happy to be thankful in every situation that's ever come into your life. But whether our feelings tell us that or not, God says in everything, give thanks. In every situation, whatever that might be. Whether it's a financial problem we've got, then we're to give thanks. If it's a health situation, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, whatever it is, in everything we're to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now you can see where the sacrifice bit comes in at times. Here am I, I'm going through a difficult time in my life perhaps, and there's some hardship and some tests and trials, and yet God says, "I want you to give thanks." So I don't feel thankful at all. You might be more spiritual than me, but there are times when I don't feel thankful about some things. Notice there's a difference between feeling thankful and being thankful. I can still give thanks to God, even though I maybe don't feel too thankful. See the difference? I trust you can see that difference. We can still give thanks to God in everything, even though we don't feel too thankful about some situations. And so we're to give thanks because we're commanded to, for all things and in every situation, to give thanks. Number two, I want us to see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this is a familiar passage to us. In Romans 8, 28. Why should we give thanks? Well, God's word says in Romans 8, 28, and we know, we're not guessing about this, we're not wondering about this, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, why should we give thanks? Because all things are working together for good. And we're not guessing at that. I mean, I'm thankful for the scriptures for many reasons, but one is because God makes things so clear in them. You see, I think there's some things hard to be understood. That is true also. But many things are very clear. How many things are working together for good in my life? Most of them, the good things, the not so good, how many of them are working together for good in my life? All things are working together for good. You think about the story of the 10 lepers. And the Lord Jesus met with them and told them to go and see the priest. As they went, they were healed of their leprosy. And we know how many came back to be thankful. Just the one. Nine of them continued on. We don't know where they went. But one of them, and interestingly enough, the Bible says it was a Samaritan. One of those people that the children of Israel hated and despised. Came back to the Lord Jesus to give thanks that he had been healed. Now, what if he hadn't been healed? I wonder whether would he have still been thankful. Now, he was. Thank the Lord that he was. But what I want to say is that sometimes you and I are thankful when things go our way. We're thankful when our leprosy is healed. We're thankful when our prayers are answered. We're thankful when certain things go our way. But what happens when they don't? Are we still thankful then? Remember, all things work together for good. And so, logically, I should be thankful even if my leprosy is not healed. Even if I seem to be constantly short of money. Even if people don't seem very friendly toward me. Even if, whatever, I'm to give thanks. Why? Because it's working together for good. They're working together for good. We need to see tests and trials as opportunities, number one, to see God do something in our lives that he wouldn't be able to do in any other situation. If you're getting $1 million a week and you only ever have costs of $1,000, you're never going to have to see God provide, are you? Because you've already got $1 million a week and you're not even spending anywhere near any of that. But put it around the other way when you've only got $1,000 and you've got $1 million worth of debts. See if you're still giving thanks then. But we ought to. These all things are working together for good. And the fact that I've got this debt or whatever I've got, it's working for my good. It's giving me an opportunity to see God do something that he couldn't do in any other way. So I didn't think about that before. We'll think about it. Think about it. And we could give illustration after illustration, I'm sure, about this thought. But trials are working together for our good, and they are opportunities to trust God for his grace, to trust God to work out the situation, to trust God to do something that he wouldn't be able to do any other way. I mean, if you're never sick, how's God going to heal you? As someone pointed out, you know, we're to give thanks and we're to pray for our enemies and to do good for them. You need some enemies to be able to do that. I don't like where we're going this morning. That's okay, just give thanks anyway. Because all things are working together for good to those who love the Lord. And yeah, the good things work for good, don't they? Oh, I'm so healthy and I've got plenty of money. Everybody loves me and I've not a problem or a care in the world. I'm so thankful. That's okay. That's good too. But that's not the only time things are working together for good. It's when those things aren't there that things are still working together for good. That's why another reason why we ought to give thanks to God in all things and for everything. Because they're all working together for good. And we can say, well, I don't understand what's going on. That's okay. Give thanks to God. He understands. As I've shared before with a story of Brother Jack Hiles. He was a pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Huge church, 100,000 members, whatever they had on their membership roll. Amazing ministry. He got to a place one time in his life where there were just so many problems, he didn't know which way to turn or what to turn. He'd been praying and praying and praying, and God didn't seem to be answering him. And he was just getting close to despair, I guess. And then God spoke to him in a sense how he said, listen, Jack, I'm not going to tell you the reason why you've got all these problems, but I'm telling you there is a reason. He said, there is a why. Brother Hiles said, well, as long as there's a why, then I guess I can keep going. What's he doing? He's saying, I'm going to give thanks even though I don't understand how this is working out, even though I don't understand how these problems are going to be resolved. I don't even know how I'm ever going to get through them, but I'm going to start being thankful because there is a why. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So that's a good reason to give thanks, why we ought to give thanks. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, why should I give thanks? If you want to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding and it'll keep your heart and your mind, then you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful. The opposite is being careful for everything. Now, the idea of being careful is don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried. Don't be fretting about things. Now, if we're going to be like that, then guess what? We won't enjoy the peace of God which passes all understanding and keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have to be able to come before the Lord with thanksgiving. Say, Lord, thank you for this situation I'm in. Thank you for this test or trial. Lord, I'm not enjoying it, maybe. You can say that. I don't understand what it's all about. You can say that. God understands all those things. But be thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. And you know what will happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You might not see where this whole thing's going. You might not even believe that even God could work it out. But you'll have the peace of God that passes understanding if you'll be thankful in those situations. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, that's where the sacrifice of praise comes in, the fruit of our lips, isn't it? When we're like Brother Hiles and the problems are so high, we feel like we're drowning in them. We say, Lord, but I'm going to be thankful because this is working for my good. And Lord, I'm going to be thankful because you've said not to be anxious. And I know this is all going to work out fine one day. And I maybe won't ever understand all of it, but Lord, that's okay. It's an opportunity, Lord, for you to do something you couldn't do in any other way in my life. Lord, if my life was always going on the cloud of ease and a bed of roses and never a hiccup, never a storm, Lord, there's so many facets of our relationship I could never enjoy. But Lord, those bumps in the road and those little hiccups along the way, Lord, they enabled me to enjoy your grace in a way I could never otherwise do. Probably all of us could give testimony to that. In times when things have been tough, and yet somehow or other God's presence seems to be there in a way we haven't enjoyed in other situations. You know, why give thanks? And I don't necessarily have a scripture for this, but it is an indicator of whether or not we are really trusting the Lord in all things. If I can't give thanks to God in all things and for all things, then there's something there that I'm not trusting the Lord about. Something there that I'm not believing that it's working for good. I'm not following through with the will of God, which is to give thanks always for all things and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. There's something I'm not trusting the Lord in. I need to address that and allow God to enable me to be thankful. Now, what about you and I this morning? Are we thankful? Are we a thankful people? Are we able to genuinely give thanks in all things and for everything, knowing that all things are working out together for good? The good, the bad, the indifferent, they're all working together for good for those who love the Lord. And there are many things we can be thankful about, good things, aren't there? I'm thankful I'm saved. I never get tired of being thankful I'm saved. And each day goes by, I reckon sometimes I'm more thankful than others, but I'm always thankful about being saved. And I love singing those hymns, redeemed, how I love to proclaim, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful for the Word of God. As the days and the weeks and the years fly by, I'm more and more thankful that we have a more sure word of testimony, even the Word of God. And then it can't be contradicted. It can't be. There's no errors to be found in. I mean, I'm just. I'm more and more encouraged. I'm more and more thankful for the Word of God. And we could go on. More and more thankful for our family and for God's provisions and all those good things. But we also learn to be thankful for the tests and the trials and the difficulties and the hardships. And maybe sometimes even the heartaches and those things that cut so hard against us, we're to be thankful for them as well. Because the Lord says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray.